for thousands and thousands of years, a certain number of people have realized that there is something more than their normal experience of what we call reality. And presumably that's because one person somewhere woke up, had an awakening, and suddenly they could see another level of consciousness. Now we have that now in the West, in science, with what has been called savants. When people have a facility that is absolutely beyond most people, they have a memory or a facility that's absolutely extraordinary. Now, there are different theories about what this is about, but the main theory is it's not that they have a bigger brain. It's that they have part of their brain that is not working, a buffer zone, and therefore they can access a supercomputer in their brain. It's not that they have more, it's that they have less that's operating. So what these people found who woke up to this other level is there is something else. And how do you access this something else? It's by disconnecting from the part that we normally identify with. And that's the thinking mind. The part of the mind that's just been programmed from the womb, but then from birth, about this is what's right, this is what's wrong, this is what's good, this is what's bad. This is what is possible, and this is what is impossible. And we've been programmed with that is the truth, that is the way it is. And it isn't the truth. As we've seen over and over, grandmothers fighting crocodiles, mothers lifting a car off their child, that's impossible. But in that moment they did it. They accessed something else. So every single person has unlimited facilities, unlimited, beyond what our limited mind can imagine. We can't imagine what's possible, because the program part of the mind cannot imagine beyond the program part of the mind. So there is this available. So when this was realized, some people said, I'm going to go for that. So then in the East, we had ashrams and we had monasteries where people would go to be with somebody who'd realized this state. The person that had realized this state knows that it's almost impossible to attain this state, and it is possible. So each one would devise a method, usually depending on how they woke up. Some would sit for 18 hours a day, just sit. Some would sit with a mantra, saying the same thing over and over. Some would sit breathing, counting out, 8 out, counting 8 in. And all of it is not to attain something, but disconnect from something that we were given in the womb and at birth, to disconnect from an active part of the brain that has been programmed to protect us. That part of the brain is there to look after us. Certain part of the brain is sort of out of our reach to us, and that is the part that digests our food and breathes. If we didn't have that automatic part, something would happen, we'd forget to breathe. So we've got an automatic system in there that takes care of us. But then on top of that, there's another automatic system that says, you once put your finger in a flame and it burnt your skin, so now we won't let you do that again. We shall tell you not to do that. But some people can put their finger in a flame and it doesn't burn. Lawrence of Arabia was witness to put his finger in a flame and it didn't burn. There are people who have been buried in the earth for months. They stop their breath, they stop their heart, they're dug up and they're alive. So what we've been told is possible and impossible isn't true, but we've got it installed in there, ingrained in there to such an extent that that's the way we see things. We see things the way we've been taught to see things. So what people who've seen that there's another level of possibility, what they've said is, so I'm going to go there. And as I say, it's almost impossible. But the terrible part about it is, it's not impossible. Anybody can do it. And some people can do it more easily, and some people not so easily. There is a theory that the people that can do it more easily have tried in previous lives, and therefore they've got a certain amount of credit for this life, that they're older souls. People like you and I, and you listening to this right now, it's absolutely possible, or you wouldn't be listening to this. You wouldn't be in the slightest interested in this. You'd be down the pub and drinking pints of beer. So it is possible. So how do we do that? Well, the old way was to go to a monastery or an ashram and sit. And few people have woken up, but it's not efficient. It doesn't work. And the way I see it, it's not appropriate. Because sometimes, even when it does work, the person is so out of touch with this level, they're living in a bubble. And my idea, my theory, whether it's true or not, is, no, we are to include everything. We're here, so as we're here, it's to experience everything on every level. So that's every human experience, every human emotion, everything. And that includes sex, it includes anger, it includes everything. And wake up to this other facility of who we are. My theory is, if you wake up completely to that, totally, utterly, you don't stay in a body. You die or you transcend. And my feeling is the game is to wake up with it and stay in a body. First of all, to have this experience on a totally different level, because once you wake up, all your old experiences are totally different. Zen says, when you wake up, mountains are no longer mountains and rivers are no longer rivers. When you stay with the waking up, mountains become mountains and rivers become rivers, but not the same mountain and not the same river. They shine, they glow, they're different. So my way of looking at things is, it's to wake up and be here, and incidentally, be available for other people. How to do it? I think it's advantageous for all aspects of life to spend some time each day alone, just sitting. And I'm not talking about meditating. I'm talking about just sitting and being with what is. Just there. Watching the mind. And usually it will go to the past, because that's where it accesses the information to keep you safe. Oh, we should do this. We must remember to do that tomorrow. Include all that. And then take a look at the process of the mind, and have somewhere in you, not as a desire, but very gentle preference, that if it is indeed true that it is possible to disconnect from the mind and have this totally different experience that is talked about and people reach, then I'm available for that. But that's the word, I'm available. Yes, you do want it, but you're not going to do anything about it. Zen calls it desireless desire. You want it, in a way, with every cell of your body. That's what it's about for you. You want it, and you don't do anything about it. Here's another aspect. This is not so easy. It's possible, but it's not so easy if you haven't had a very full life. The more full life you've had, the more you've done, the places you've been to, the people you've met, the experiences, the more you've done, it's like you've taken care of part of your curiosity about what is life. You've taken care. So, backtracking in a way, don't miss an opportunity. Don't miss anything. If it's there, when in doubt, do it. Once you've fulfilled in a certain way and you're sitting there, there's no longer, oh, I wish I... There's a certain containment in there because you've done so much. You're sitting there, the mind keeps coming in because that's the job of the mind. Don't be against the mind. That's its job. We've trained it to do that. It's taking care of you. Thank you very much, mind. But sitting here in this room alone, I'm as safe as I could possibly be. Maybe something falls out of the sky or there's an earthquake, but there's nothing we can do about that. We've taken care of everything. Here we are. Thank you, mind. And the mind will keep coming in and you keep disconnecting and coming back to the moment. Your breath, or the subtle sounds, or the sounds in your ear, and come back. Come back. Off you go again. Don't blame the mind. Don't get upset. And if you do get upset, include the upset. Include everything in that mind. You include that you don't want to have your mind active. You include the thought that I shouldn't have the thought that I don't want my mind. Include. Keep including whatever happens, scoop it up and include it. Don't focus on it. Don't suppress it. Don't think about it. Don't work on it. Keep coming back to now. And if you come back to now, just now, you'll probably find thoughts are going on, but there's also something else. There is something else. In the East, they call it Om. And we think that's a sound, but it's not actually a sound. It's a soundless sound. Sometimes you can hear it in your ears or feel it in your body. It's like a tingling, as though every single cell is vibrating. They're actually dancing. And you can come back to this moment and be here. Yes, the thoughts are there, but you're not with the thoughts now. You're here. You're with the tingling. Of course, you'll find you'll start to think about the tingling. Disconnect from the thought of tingling and be with the tingling and the subtle sound in your ears. And every time a thought or a diversion comes in, yes. And don't go there. Yes. And don't go there. A frustration that you're not waking up, yes. And don't go there. And somewhere, hovering somewhere is, it is possible. And not only is it possible for people that have sat for years and years and years, it happened to Diane, just down the road, very ordinary life, just doing ordinary things, and became available of the possibility, made herself available, and it happened. It always just happens. You can't earn it. Whenever it happens, you realize whatever you did didn't create this. All you did was get things out of the way so that could happen. And in fact, to take it another step, it doesn't happen. It's happening now. It's happening in you now. And you are trained, programmed, focused on another part where you are not aware that it's happening. That's where you're living. You're living in a place where you're not having that experience, that realization. That's where you're living through the mind. And you can't get out of it through the mind. Thank you, mind. Thank you for the way you look after me, and please continue on that level. And I'm ready to disconnect in a way where I'm present. You're in neutral, you're on hold, you're there if I need you. Go into neutral. And let happen what wants to happen. Here's one more practical thing. And it's split into two ways. I'm going to tell you one way first. If you're not awake, it's because you don't want to be awake. And opposite to that, totally opposed to that, and equally true, which is hard for the mind to get, that there can be two things that are true, is if you're not awake, it might not be appropriate for you to be awake. It might mean for your evolution, or the evolution of the whole, of which we're all an equal part, it's not appropriate. So we don't know. So that's why I suggest, don't complain. Be grateful. Because you are in the perfect state that's appropriate for you in this moment. We don't know about the next moment. But if you are trying for something, you are complaining, you are rejecting this moment. And waking up is total acceptance of this moment exactly the way it is. That's what waking up is. So if you're complaining that you're not awake, you're not going to wake up because the complaint is in the way of you waking up. It's yes, this is the way it is. I am grateful for the way it is. Here's one more thing. Usually, if a person isn't awake, something else is their major priority. When it's your absolute major priority, and that's a whole level that I won't get into now, you are totally unconditional. And that means whether you go blind or deaf or crippled or die, waking up is your priority. It's a mind thing. It's a state you drop into where you are totally, utterly available. Now, if you're listening to this and you're not at least visiting, spending time with somebody who's awake, then it's not your priority. If you want to be a top tennis player, you go to a top coach. If you want to be a concert pianist, you go to the best music school or teacher you possibly can. If it's your priority, that's what you do. So if you are not at least visiting or spending time around somebody who's awake, you don't want it. You want instead your job, your family, your relationship, your house, your car. You want something more than you want to wake up. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's just that don't be stupid. Wake up. Be honest, at least with yourself. Be honest. Because if that was your absolute priority, you would be at least spending time with somebody who's awake. And if you're intelligent, you will spend every single moment you can with them. You'll go to the toilet with them. You will be in their presence. You'll listen to every single thing they say. You'll watch every move they make, to see if you can catch it, imbibe it. And there's nothing wrong if you're not doing that. Just wake up to the fact it is not your priority. And if it's not your priority, it's unlikely that you're going to wake up to that part of you that's there already. You wake up to it when you are totally, utterly, without any condition whatsoever. That's what waking up is. It is, there is no part of you that's saying, I demand that something be different from the way it is. I totally accept this moment, which means I totally accept that I'm not awake. When you totally, utterly accept that you're not awake, you're awake.